Welcome back to the Transformed Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Powers. It's our 100th podcast today, and we're so glad you've chosen to join us. Dr. Matthew Smith, lead pastor at Pacific Baptist Church in El Segundo, California, continues a four-message series on the ABCs of loving God. Today we're looking into the Old Testament to discover how we will utilize all of the blessings God has given us as we seek to love Him, love our neighbors, and love one another. So let's open our Bibles to 1 Chronicles 29 and listen in as Pastor Matt provides great help in unlocking the door to the closed hearts of those in your sphere of life.
Have I told you lately I love you? I love you.
I love you too,
Pastor.
Melody and I just every evening, one of the last thing we do before we go to bed is we pray. God, bless this congregation. Bless these people. It's just a great place to be. I want to talk to you about my blessings. How do I respond to God? What do I do with my blessings? We're in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, if you have your Bible. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And I want to encourage you to turn there as well. As we're wrapping up the book of 1 Chronicles in our text, we are going to look at the second message in the ABCs of loving God. So here we go. Would you pray with me? Father, we want to see Jesus. We want to see you. Empower us through the Spirit. Teach us, we pray. All God's people said, amen and amen. As we talk about my blessing, I'm reminded of Bob McEwen telling a story several years ago. I went to McDonald's one afternoon after they were out doing errands. He and his young son, 5 or 6. And so he asked his son what he wanted, and his son said, I want some French fries. And so they got a big one, the jumbo package, and they sat down with their drinks, and they were just talking. And the son, of course, like all young children, had the fries on his side, and he was eating them down, and they were having a good time talking. And Bob reached over to grab a French fry, and the son pulled the whole box next to him. And Bob sat back and didn't say anything for a minute, and he began to think. He thought all those thoughts that parents think. Wait a minute, I paid for those fries. Those are my fries. What does he think he is holding my fries? He thought some more. My son doesn't realize that if I wanted to, I could bury him in fries. I could go up to the counter, I could order $100 or $200 worth of French fries, and I could bury that little kid in French fries. He thought a little longer. And then he thought this. He said, you know, I really didn't want the fries. I just really wanted for him to let me have some of the fries I gave him. I was thinking about that. I was thinking about how many times you and I say, no, these are mine, to God. Whatever it is. Not realizing that everything you and I possess is God's. He gave it all to us. You see, God is saying to us, you don't understand. I don't necessarily want those fries. I want you to understand that I'm the source of those fries. I'm the source of those blessings you possess. I'm the guy. I don't need your blessings. I have all the blessings. I am the blessor. Sometimes we don't realize that God really doesn't need what He asks us to give. We don't get that. This is true. God doesn't need anything He asks you to give. So the question is, why would he ever ask us to give? And that's what I want to explore today. One of the things that you and I really ought to catch, okay? One of the things that you and I really ought to catch is this whole idea that God is a giver. God is a giver. I'd write that in the white space. My God is a giver. My God is a giver. In fact, you know John 3:16. Let's just say the first part of it. For God so loved the world that he gave. If you know God, you know he's a giver. Today, in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, I want to encourage you to listen to this giving, how David expresses it. And David says it this way. Follow along in your copy. Verse 10, chapter 29, 1 Chronicles. Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly. Now, they've just collected a whole bunch of stuff and they're preparing here to build the temple that Solomon will build. So they collected all this stuff. They've got all the wood and all the nails and the gold and the silver. They've got everything they could possibly need and too much more. I mean, they have just went on a collection extravaganza. If you've been in the church for a while, this was a capital campaign on steroids. Okay? And he says, blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Verse 12, both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Verse 13, now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly to you all this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. Sounds like the fries. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow without hope. Verse 16, our Lord, O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand and is all your own. Would you do me a favor? Would you, in your Bible, would you just circle verse 11, circle verse 14, and circle verse 16? Don't ever forget 11, 14, and 16. Now, in verse 14, I'm going to encourage you to put brackets. You know brackets? They look like half of a window. Okay? Just put a bracket around the circle. Okay? In verse 16, I want you to memorize. In my Bible, it says this. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand and is all your own. What's David saying? Very simply, David is saying that God is the source of everything you have, everything I have. Yes, everything. You don't have, I don't have anything that God hasn't given to us. Remember what I said last week? There's always money. There's always been money. There always will be money. People who hoard money, who are misers, are worried there won't be money in the future. Who is the source of our money? God. From my earliest days, I have been making money. I was making money at the age of 7, Elaine. I was making money more than my father by the time I was 12. Daniel. By the time I was 16, my father was accepting loans from me, Brian. It's always been money. You see, your house, your car, your savings, your clothes, your food, your excess that doesn't fit in your closets or garage, it's all from God. It's all from God. And God, according to this passage, requires nothing of us that He hasn't already given to us. Doesn't require it, doesn't need it. You see, what I'm saying is this, what David's saying is, provisionally, I have everything I need to fulfill God's plan for my life at this moment. Let's say that together because this is huge. I have everything I need to fulfill God's plan for my life at this moment. I have everything. I put it in your notes. I want you to memorize it. Provisionally, with all that God has provided me, I have everything I need for God's plan in my life right now. Wow. Wow. You see, there's three truths about our giving God. I put them in your message notes. And the first one is that God has the power to give us what we need. God has the power to give us what we need. Verse 12, would you read it with me off the screen? Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Would you circle the phrase "in your hand"? It's in there how many times? How many times do you see "in your hand"? Twice. Do you see that it's not in your hand? It's in God's hand to prosper you. You can work hard and you must work hard. Diligence is part of what God asks. God is not a communist. By the way, God's not a capitalist either. God is God. And we must become Christ-like. Not communism, not capitalism, it's Christ-likeness. God is a giver. And God is the source. And if you want to prosper, you need to get near the source. Ponce de Leon searched his whole life for the fountain of youth. He was looking for the water that would give him life. Unfortunately, he didn't go to Mass enough to catch on that the fountain of youth is Jesus. Behold, out of my innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And this he spoke of himself in the coming of the Spirit of God. You now have life. And he has told us in Ephesians 1 that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And he also gives you all the physical stuff you need to do his job right now. He's the source. He's the source in his hand to give us strength when we need it. Now, the question I have to ask myself all the time, I wrote it down in my notes, is this. Do I live out that belief? Or does fear or doubt reflect? Is it reflected? Fear and doubt, are they reflected in my choices? Am I afraid? So I am a miser? Or do I believe that God will give me because he has all the power he needs to? God will give me more. I believe it. Do you believe God's all-powerful? Not with your head, but with your heart. Do you believe God's all-powerful? Do you trust him to make the hard decisions? Second of all, this passage tells us that anything God would ask of you now, he has already given you the resources for. He's already given it to you. You already have it. First, we're talking about his ability. Now we're talking about his willingness. God is willing to give you whatever you need. And by the way, you already have what you need to do his will right now. Let's read with, would you read with me please? 1 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 14. Let's read David's comment. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you and of your own we have given you. Why don't you do yourself a favor and underline that last sentence? All things come from you, and of your own we have given you. Now, I want you to catch this. Look up here. God never asks you to give what you don't possess. God never asks you to give what you don't possess. Turn to your neighbor and tell them that. God never asks you to give what you don't possess. Would you send a child, your child, to the store to buy groceries but not give them the money to buy it? No. Would God ask you to do something if he hadn't already given you the provision? No. He's a good father. He's a good father. Every day, as I pray, many of you know on the Wednesday night group, you know that this is also my prayer journal. It's in here. And every day I am reminded of this truth as I pray. I pray these words from Isaiah 30, verse 18. Listen, we've talked about them before. They're not in your notes, but you might want to write down Isaiah 30, verse 18. Therefore, the Lord is waiting to show you mercy and is rising up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a just God. All who wait patiently for him are happy. He's waiting to pour out kindness upon us. All we have to do is go to the source. Ponce de Leon never did find the source, the fountain of youth. All he had to do was go to Jesus. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the but by me. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it. He's the source. He's not only the source of spiritual blessing. He's the source of all the physical blessing. So what in the world is our problem? Our problem is that we want resources we don't need. By the way, unless you beat yourself up, don't worry about this. Even the Israelites in the wilderness had problems with this. They would collect too much manna. God would provide for them every morning. He'd provide manna. All they had to do was go out and collect it. You know what they did? He told them, don't collect too much. Just get enough for today. I'll give you some more tomorrow. What did they do the first two times? They ran out. Oh, look at all of it. It's free. They're like you and I on the after Christmas sales. Okay? Or when we go to Costco and we buy 400 bottles of ketchup. Okay? It's like, and what happens? By the time you get to the 400th bottle of ketchup, it's
rotten.
We've all had this problem for years. Okay? What God gives should be enough for you and to give. He's already provided. Let me give you a third truth here. Third truth here is that God gives you so you can give to others. This is the partnership issue. This is the partnership issue. I love this picture. I found it this week. I think it's so cute. Okay? Sharing the ice cream cone. They got ice cream all over them. Listen, when God gives you something, we have a rule in our house. One of the 21 rules of our house is, when I have something good to share, I share it. Okay? That's part of the rules of God's house. When I have something good to share, I share. I learned that from my mother. My mother used to make dinner. Make it Southern style, which means in English, lots. Okay? But if I happen to bring too many friends home as high school football players or wrestlers or track members, my mother would just simply stretch it out. And she would give. And lots of times she would eat less and my father would eat less so that we could eat more. God gives to us so that we can give to others. I remember my earliest remembrance of my mother. I was in our little red radio flyer wagon. And I was being pulled. It was a hot summer day. I can remember this like it was yesterday. Being pulled by my mother the half a mile or so to go visit her friend, Jeanette. Jeanette's husband at the time was a drunk. You know, there's only two kinds of drunks. There are happy drunks and there are mean drunks. Jean was a mean drunk. And Jean beat her up. And he had drunk all the paycheck. There was no food for their multiple kids. I don't remember how many they had at that time, probably two or three, but they wound up with five or six. Okay. And my mother, in that little red wagon where I was sitting, had several boxes of canned goods that she had personally canned out of her own garden. I remember that, boxes of the stuff. In fact, I was just kind of sitting on the back, you know, kind of hanging on. And we delivered them to her. You see, God gives you something so you can give to somebody else. Now, my favorite cartoon is Daffy Duck, okay? When Daffy Duck is accidentally shrunk into a little guy, and he finds that they've been out hunting for gold, and they find this little teeny nugget, but now Daffy Duck's real small, and so it's as big as he is. And I can remember him going and seeing that, and he runs to it and grabs it, and he goes, "It's mine! It's mine! It's all mine!" The reason I remember that 45 years later is because that little guy inside of me is still Daffy. And maybe he is in you. When God gives me something, my flesh often takes over and says, "It's mine! It's mine! It's all mine!" And that is as ungodly as it gets. Because as we said in John 3:16, "For God," say it with me, "for God so loved the world that he gave." It is so opposite. It is so opposite. Now, take a look at how this works. This is what David said. Would you read it with me out of verse 16 of 1 Chronicles 29? Read it with me. "O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand and is all your own." You've probably heard about the Occupy movement. Okay? The Occupy movement's all over the place. And the big complaint is that we are the 99%. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Everybody with a sign up that says we're the 99% has never been out of the country to a third world place. They're the 99%. They don't have any money in third world countries. The average person in a third world country lives on less than a dollar a day. We aren't the 99%. Well, technically we are. They got it wrong. We're the 99% who has the wealth. It's the people with the dirt floors living in a trash dump with a cobbled together shack and no sewer with sewage streaming down past their house and children drinking contaminated water. Wow. That's the problem in life. Yes, we don't have enough compared to the billionaires and the millionaires, but folks, there is no Brinks truck behind any funeral hearse. You can't take it with you. I have done lots of funerals. Nobody takes it with you. And besides, why would you want to, if you converted all of your assets into gold, why in the world would you want to take your inferior quality paving material to heaven? The gold in heaven you can see through. Yours is still so dense with impurities you can't see through it. "The things of this earth will grow strangely dim," the old song says. What? "In the light of his glory and grace." I want you to catch the pyramid partnership pyramid that I'm talking about here. All that I have belongs to you, God, and I've got to give it. There are three parts to this. God gives. And as God gives, there are others that God gives to, and God gives to me. Now, the reality is that you and I have to take what God gives us and give it to others. You see, that's the whole point. We're to give to others. God gives to others. How does he give to others? Through us. He also gives them things. When they come, for example, not all of us, not any of us have everything. All of us have all this stuff we have. And so we have to share it. And so when God gives to me, I give to God. I give to others. When God gives to others, they give to God. They give to me. The Bible's replete with this. The whole idea of if I have it and you need it, it's yours. That's what built the first century church. That's what caused the first century church to take over the whole known world, is this partnership pyramid. It says in Acts chapter 2 this phrase, "And no one claimed anything to be their own." Now, I have a question for you. Are you sticky fingered or are you slippery fingered? Does what God gives you, does it stick? Me, 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 me. It's mine, it's mine, it's all mine. Or are you slippery fingered? When God gives you something, you give it to somebody else. The great question. Let me encourage you to follow along in a New Testament passage. You might want to turn there. Matthew chapter 25. I'm going to read just a few verses. This is how the end of time works. If you want to know how things work when Jesus ends everything and how he works on taking and putting people in heaven and putting people in hell, this is one of the descriptions he gives. I'm in Matthew 25. I'm going to read from 31 to 46. Follow along in your copy, please. "When the Son of Man comes in all his glory, and all the holy angels with him, he will sit on the throne of his glory. And all the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the... And he will set the sheep on his... and but the goats on his... And the king will say to those on his right hand..." By the way, that's the side of blessing. That's the side of pardon. "He will say, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For," circle that word, "I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and what did you do? Took me in. I was naked and you... I was sick and you... I was in prison and you... Then the righteous will answer saying," circle this, "Lord, when did we," I love that, "when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you to drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick and in prison and come to you?" When? I don't remember ever doing this, Lord. What did Jesus say? "The king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you have done this to one of the least of my brethren, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those on the left hand, the side of punishment, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" Circle it. Four. It's a causal word both times. "I was" what? "Hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you didn't take me in. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. Sick and in prison and you..." And then they will say to him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" And then he will answer them saying, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life." Let me just make a few observations out of this passage. First observation I want you to catch is, we're accountable to God for what we do with his blessings. Everything that God's given you goes in a spreadsheet, so to speak. And you give an account. Now, am I talking about your eternal soul here? I'm talking about what you have. What you do with what you have demonstrates who you are and whose you are. Because if you're God's, you're going to imitate your Father. And let's read it. Let's say it again. "For God so loved the world that he gave." God is giver. If you're his child, what does that make you? A giver. It's part of your spiritual DNA. When the Spirit indwells you, the Spirit is a giver. If you're still running around with that daffy expression, "It's mine, it's mine, it's all mine," you have not come into his presence yet. You've missed this point. I've missed this point. How many times have I missed this point? Now, Paul talks about this. There's two of us inside of us, right? There's the Spirit of God dwelling in us that's changed us into a new person. And then there's that old person who isn't dead yet. Any of you still running around with the old person like I am? Man, I'm telling you, that old person is enough to drive me crazy. Paul said, chief of sinners, he still was. Struggle with this all the time. I fight with this all the time. That old guy just wanted mine, mine, mine. And I have to take out my great big vampire stake and take my hammer and nail him to the cross. Every day. Second thing I notice is that giving to others is giving to God. When I give to you, I give to God. When I give to my neighbor, I give to God. I'm giving to God. I also notice that when I'm not giving to God, others, I am not giving to God. Wow, this one's very, very, very convicting. Especially when the mine, mine, mine guy is still running things. In other words, we are incomplete without each other. I need you. You need me. And our neighbors need us. Because, hear me, though I didn't put it in your notes, you ought to catch this. Everybody's going to have a need that they can't meet. But you can. The ushers are going to hand out the application for the week. Adrian, if you'd grab that little pile, it's around the corner there. It says trust account transfer, just around the corner. And as we hand this out, I want you to take a moment and look this over. This trust account transfer looks like a check, sort of. Sort of. Not a lot, but sort of. Okay? And the very first thing I want you to do with the trust account transfer is I want you to write your name at the very top left. Just want you to write your name at the very top left. Okay? Now, I said it looks like a check. Let me say what you cannot do with this check. You may not, under any circumstances, pass any money to anybody in this trust account transfer. You may not pass any money to anybody in this trust account transfer. So just put your name in the upper left. Now, what I'm wanting you to do is this. You have a lot of stuff, don't you? Let's talk about some of the stuff you have. You have time. You have things. The question today is, who around you could use some of your time or some of your things? Maybe it's somebody in the congregation who could use some of your time or some of your things. Maybe it's somebody in your neighborhood who could use some of your time or some of your things. Or maybe somebody in your work world. Do you know somebody who needs... By the way, do you know anybody know anybody who has young kids? Just raise your hands. Just raise your hands. If you know... Okay. Guess what parents always need with young kids?
Babysitter.
They need a night out and they need a babysitter. Okay? Maybe that's it. Maybe somebody needs their house cleaned. Maybe somebody needs, just because they've had some health issues, they need some meals. Or maybe they need their laundry cleaned. Or maybe they're going on vacation and they need you to watch their house, mow their lawn. See, I want you to think of somebody and put their name in the trust account of line. And then put in that next line, I am giving, and tell them what they're giving. Now, if they happen to be in the room, let me encourage you, as you sign this, to hand it to them on the way out. In fact, you could hand it to them right now if you've already filled it in. Just take a moment to help somebody. And you say, Pastor, you're crazy. No, I'm biblical. Acts chapter 2. They filled every need so that there was no need of anyone in the congregation. And because there was never a need in the congregation, whether it was financial or whether it was physical, whether it was emotional, whether whatever it was, because of that, they drew people like a magnet. In other words, they were just imitating God. And what's the greatest thing you love about God? God is a giver. And so the thing today we want to say is, I'm going to be a giver too. Will you pray with me? Father, this morning we're mindful that we love you because you first loved us. You give and 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 you give to us. And you have never stopped giving to us. From the moment that we were conceived, you have given us health and growth and life. You've given us food, nutrition. You have built us and strengthened us and molded us and shaped us. And from the time that we were out of that womb and even before, you have given us protection. You have sustained us. You have taken care of us. As we were young, you trained us through our parents and family and friends. You have given us an education. You have provided us with abilities that are unique to us. And Father, as we have gone through our lives, you have guided us and directed us and given us stuff. And we have time, and we have treasures, and we have talents. Oh God, we have so much. Today it's my prayer that out of the so much, we would be willing to give some of it to somebody else and imitate you. That we would not be daffy in our Christlikeness and say to ourselves, no, it's my time. It's my stuff. But we would say very clearly, all that I have is from you. And all that I'm able to give is what you have given to me. Father, make us givers, not keepers. Make us more like Jesus, less like ourselves. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.
And with that, Dr. Smith wraps up our 100th episode of the Transform Podcast. We know you'll want to subscribe to our blog notices so you don't miss any of our upcoming podcasts. Please check out our website and consider one of the year-long devotionals for 2012, either In His Image, which focuses on the theme, God created you to love you, or In His Presence, which centers on the truth, God welcomes you into His presence with joy and pleasure. It is our sincere hope and prayer that 2012 will be your best and most effective year in ministry to date for our Lord and King, Jesus.